Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray,
and they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA. MLB, college football, college basketball. Some tennis for y'all.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and let's talk some sports. Give us a call, 718-664-9098, and like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check us out at rayandtaytoday.com. Tweet at us, Facebook us. We're here, man. YouTube us. You know what I mean? Ray and Tay, we're everywhere. Ray, right off the bat, we're going to thank also some Urban Daily audience joining us and different people. Thank all of our fans and listeners, the emails. A lot of people got to us with the NBA talk with some of the players, and we'll talk about that because Ray's guy, ESPN, and a lot of people are talking about, and he's taken off early. But I got to ask you. I'm out here in Arizona. Are the 7-1 Cardinals?
Get to Arizona.
Are the 7-1 Arizona Cardinals about to play a home game in the Super Bowl in their stadium? You say what, Ray? Looking good.
I say it's absolutely possible because there isn't a dominant team in the NFL. And you know what? Carson Palmer, with all of his ups and downs, throws a pick six, but bounces right back against what appears to be a very overrated Cowboys team, especially if Tony Romo's not at 100%. But give the Cardinals credit. We kept saying they're in the wrong neighborhood. They're in the wrong neighborhood. I thought they wouldn't even make the playoffs in that same division with Seattle. And by the way, give St. Louis credit, too. We'll get to that in a sec. But playing in that same division as San Francisco and Seattle, you didn't think they have a chance to win that division, you know, and go to the playoffs. But I tell you what, it's possible. We might have the first time, we talked about it off air, we came close, what was that, 84?
84, Niners.
The Niners.
No, 84. 84 Super Bowl. 84
Super Bowl, right. The Niners beat them. Yeah, it was the 84 Super Bowl in 85, in January of 85, when they beat the Miami Dolphins. Dan Marino Super Bowl.
That was played at
Stanford Stadium, so it was close.
But it was very close.
If you're the Cardinals, you have every reason to think that it's yours. Go get it, right? It's yours to lose. Why not? There's no dominant team in the NFL. Why can't you be that dominant team?
And interestingly enough, you bring some good points about changing your address. But right now, you could argue that the AFC North is the best division in football, like it was a couple years ago. With the Browns, Steelers. I mean, gosh, the Ravens have been playing not bad football, and they're the worst team in the division right now. We'll, talk about that. But I tip my hat to the Cardinals, and we'll get to the rest of the football and the Rams. But we got to talk about my team and Sunday Night Football because what we've seen with the 43-23 win, the Steelers over the Ravens, and what we've seen the last 2 weeks with 12 touchdowns, no interceptions, just a plethora of yards, hitting 6, 7, 8 different receivers. I think Big Ben is, number one, he's in the top 5 with yards, and I think he's back in that conversation because it's him, Luck, Brady, Breeze, and Manning, the top 5 in passing. Well, people have forgotten about Big Ben in the historical sense of being a great quarterback because it's such a pound-and-ground organization and defense first. He's got 2 rings. One of them he went for the ride with the bus, and the second one, he out-dueled Kurt Warner against Arizona. But I think it's time, Ray, to give Big Ben his props. He can play in the pocket, and he can scramble, not to run, but scramble to extend the play. And right now, they might have one of the best receiving corps in football. Very underrated with Wheaton and Martavis Bryant, Lance Moore, and Antonio Brown, who's clearly a number one and arguably the best receiver in football. And then you got Le'Veon Bell, who's one of the best receiving running backs up there with Forte and your boy Foster. So What do you say about my Steelers? And how about the Ravens and Suggs with the cheap shot last night? Thought that was really dirty. I got to tell you, I don't like Suggs and the way the Ravens play sometimes. And then Harrison coming back and playing great. And Blitzberg was back, baby. Dick LeBeau.
Yeah, I tell you what, that just tells you how this league is so week to week. Because I heard this stat. It blew my mind. 2 weeks ago. So before Ben threw his 12 touchdowns and no interceptions, 2 weeks ago going into that game, the Pittsburgh Steelers, your Steelers, them Steelers in Iron City, they were the third worst red zone offense in the NFL. They couldn't do anything in the red zone. And now Big Ben, and like you said, a nice little slew of receivers led by a guy who might just be on his way to being the best or one of the best receivers in the game, maybe even a Hall of Famer if he keeps up this production, Antonio Brown, because he's doing it consistently, right? That six catches a game, unbelievable. If you're in a PPR fantasy league, I mean, he's better than Calvin Johnson. He's better than all of these guys just because he does it week in and week out. But it just tells you that this NFL is week to week. I mean, we talked about this also off air. Think about how 4 or 5 weeks ago we were ready to write the Patriots off. And
God
we'll
forbid.
Get into that, too. But, you know, and even in our league, I don't want to call people out, but, you know, Tom Brady, some people even dropped Tom Brady. People were calling for Jimmy Garoppolo to be in. I mean, what?
Which is foolishness, yeah.
It is foolishness, but it just tells you how it's amazing in a 16 games. This is why football is so great, how you can have seasons within a season in the NFL.
The ultimate soap opera.
Steelers are the perfect example. And you know what? Big Ben, you know, maybe right behind Andrew Luck, and depending on what he does tonight, we'll also talk about that. But Big Ben needs to be in the top two or three discussion for MVP. He just
definitely does. And we'll get back to the rest of the NFL because I want to talk about, you know, Murray didn't get 100 yards and Phillip Rivers just, I don't know what happened yesterday. We'll talk about that. But why don't you tell everybody what the good news is in Chicagoland in baseball, because there's something to smile about today.
Yeah, and in fact, the Vegas folks had the Cubs as 50-1 yesterday, and then today the Cubs are still not 3-2 to win it, but they're 20-1, and the only difference is they hired Joe Madden. So good for them. They got their guy, 5 years, $25 million. You hate to see Renteria get fired like that, but when you have a chance to get a top three manager, you got to do it. You got to do it. And so,
who do the Rays hire? That's what I want to know. To celebrate the Cubs, but today for Rays Nation.
Yeah, that's a good question. Think about it. They had Lou Piniella for a while, and then Joe Madden for a long time. I mean, these are strong characters, and you have to be a strong, hard-nosed character to play in the AL East. When you're going up every year against the payrolls in New York and Boston, even in Toronto.
Do they need to relocate? Are we at that point? I really wonder. Can they ever win in Tampa? They don't have real fan support. The Miami Marlins barely have fan support. But I don't know. Tampa's good for spring training. But, Ray, should they relocate? Are there other sports towns that can, you know, handle and facilitate and support a baseball team better? I think that's a legit question for that.
It's a legit question, and it's possible, because even when they were winning and even when they were going to the World Series games, it's not like their fan support was overwhelming. So, you know, part of it is the weather. Part of it is that horrible Tropicana Dome that they've played in for years. And also, like you said, it's been known for decades as a spring training ground. That's what a Yankee spring training facility. So you could argue there might be more Yankee fans in Tampa than Rays fans. That's crazy. That's outrageous.
You can't have that.
It's a legit question.
So, okay, so we tip our hats to them. Now, we got to figure out, and, you know, we respect all sports and we definitely love the new Sprint Cup chase with NASCAR, but I got to tell you, they need to stop. This isn't hockey, and it's a lack of professionalism, but this fighting and really you know, we talk, you know, you, people always talk about with the basketball and Ron Artest and the assault. I mean, there was, I mean, the guys got assaulted in that scuffle. I mean, the crew chief and the other guy, you know, landing punches, there was some blood. I mean, it's ridiculous. Brad Keselowski and Jeff Gordon and their two posses were going at it. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, look, if fans are going to rip your boy Richard Sherman for just ranting and talking after a game and he gets ripped on Twitter and some racial epithets and all this stuff, then what do we say about these guys and how they've been carrying on? And NASCAR's had a really bad season. In terms,
you know what
of,
we say?
Yeah.
Passes on Broadway.
It's bad, Ray. Because I've been excited about it, actually. I've been excited about the sport, and this turns me away. They're coming out here
you
to Phoenix.
What?
Let's hope they calm down and act instead of acting like wild animals or children, let's hope they act like grown men and give
think
us
about this
great
too.
Races.
You know what? Think about this, too. You know how quickly we forget because the sports world, you know, there's a lot going on every week, and obviously, you know, football is a big part of the landscape. But because of this trifling behavior and people taking out their frustration, we had a driver die. You know what I mean? We had – it wasn't what, 6-7 weeks ago?
That's what I'm saying. They're coming off a bad, you know,
killed a
bad summer.
A driver. That's awful. I mean – you got to find a way, and I don't know, you know, hockey lets them fight a little too much on the ice, and, you know, in football, you'll fight on the field, but then there'll be repercussions. It feels like in NASCAR, you know, throwing helmets and you know, doing these shenanigans, and then after the races, these brawls just happen too often, and Brad Keselowski seems to be in the middle of too many of these. So, you know,
he's a driver, you know? I mean, it's like, dude.
He is, but he's
He rubs you the wrong way. Yeah, he does. But don't you think, let me ask you this, though, right? See, to me, right, if you've got a child that likes NASCAR, like, to me, how do you say, okay, be professional, baseball, football, and basketball, but then hockey and NASCAR, I mean, God forbid if people did this in tennis. They hit each other with their golf clubs or tennis rackets. You know what I mean? So to me, it doesn't make sense that in certain professional sports, you have to be classy, gentlemen, da 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 da. But then in NASCAR and hockey, you can act like freaking subhuman, Cro-Magnon men. It doesn't work for me.
Wait, hold on. Can we take a pause on that? Subhuman Cro-Magnon men.
Yes, there you go, baby.
That's
maybe somewhat. It's too much. It's too much. And you know what? We got some great races ahead. Now, it's weird. I don't like – the one thing I don't like, and I told you this, about this new format, like Jimmy Johnson wins, but he's not even eligible to win anymore. So it's sort of like weird to me that guys in cars – and I know what you're saying, they got to fill out the field, but it's weird that guys can win races that sort of aren't even in contention. It's kind of almost stupid. It's like sort of like, a team that's out of the playoffs still getting to play in another sport. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. Maybe
I know.
You have less drivers.
But think about it, though. If you have a race with 16 cars, that's fine. If you have a race with 12 cars, maybe. But if you start to have a big oval, a 2-mile, 2.5-mile oval with 8 cars and then 4 cars, would that be a little weird? You know what I mean? That would be weird, too. So I don't know how they resolve it. But you bring up a good point. It's kind of weird. Jimmy Johnson wins, and what does he get?
Nothing. It's like a tip of the hat. It's like anticlimactic. I mean, I guess
right.
For me, I'd almost like to give it a shot to see what it's like with just the 4 cars racing compared to some dude that I'm a fan of, but his win means nothing because he can't win anymore. That's like teasing me because I'm a Jimmy Johnson fan. You know what I'm saying? So, but
right, Jimmy can't win.
It's like Jimmy can't win no more. So Jimmy needs to sit home. Sorry, Jimmy. Sorry, Jimmy. So listen, let's talk some hoops, man. We started the season.
We had our preview
last week. We had some big games over the weekend. You know, Halloween. Hope everybody had fun. The kids had their candy and stuff. But we had a great game. We had the Cavs beat the Bulls, and Rose went down. But I thought it was a playoff intensity in the game, and I think the Cavs can take away from after losing at home, you know, to then go win in Chicago the next night in an impressive fashion. It's early in the season, but you know what? I think every win is sort of building, you know, building your roster, building your team, your bench, figuring out how you're going to work everything. And so I think LeBron and the Cavs should feel happy about that. But I want to ask you specifically about the four undefeated teams and how do you think, you know, they'll continue to play out. The Heat, Warriors, Rockets, and Grizzlies. You know, I love the Grizz, all 3-0. Not too high on the Rockets, but, you know, hey, they've been winning. Are the Heat and Warriors, these teams, are they legit? Are they legitimate? Are they EPMD or what?
Well, first of all, I got to shout out the NBA for running the marathon, doing that 24-person New York City marathon relay with Dikembe Mutombo, the big guy.
I heard it. That's awesome. And Adam Silver ran. I think
cool.
The broadcaster from the Knicks, right? Our boy Mike Breen. I mean, that's really great. NBA,
yeah.
Man, Ray, they know how to market. They know how to
Chris
do their
Mullen,
thing, man.
You know, from St. John, Queens, Charles Oakley, Tiny Archibald. They had a lot of guys. Darryl Dawkins.
That's awesome.
Sam Perkins.
You know I love Sleepy Sam.
Great event.
Yeah,
but you know what? You asked about the teams. I got to tell you my opinion. Miami's 3-0, and
they look good.
They do, but they're not legit. You cannot lose LeBron James and be a legitimate title contender. They made some, you know, did as much as they could in the offseason, namely keeping Chris Bosh, right, and bringing over.
Ranger. They got some guys. James Dennis.
But think about the drop off in the Eastern Conference between Chicago, Cleveland, and everybody else. So whether it's Miami, Toronto, you know, or
Washington.
Charlotte,
yeah.
Washington, you know, whoever. So I don't think they're legit as a. I mean, I still think they're a good team. I thought they'd come in fifth. So I think they're a 42-45 win team, but 3-0, I think that's crazy. They're not one of those kind of things. Golden State, you know how I feel about Steve Kerr and his defense and the fact that this team is just a flawed defensive team.
Last night, they beat the Blazers with two defensive steals at the end of the game. They played great team. I was very impressed with them, man.
But I don't know if that's sustainable. Just looking at their roster, right? Their roster is really not a solid, you know, NBA above average defensive roster. I mean, everybody on that team.
No, it's Draymond Green and Bogut are like your only real and Iguodala. You have three defensive players. What you have with Sean Livingston, though, is some versatility and length. Some length at the guard. But you're right. I mean, they don't have the horses defensively. Not like the Grizzlies do. That's the best defensive team out of these four that are undefeated. And I told you.
Yeah, so you tell me. So what's more surprising, that the Grizzlies are 3-0 or the Houston Rockets that you thought would potentially make the playoffs are 3-0?
I'd say the Rockets, but it's all about who you play, right? They beat the Lakers. They beat, I don't know, a couple other teams. But I just don't know if Howard and Harden are ready to lead a team to the championship. I find that as much as they stuff stats, they disappear in big moments. There's no way they should have lost to the Blazers last year in the first round. And I just think this year, not having Ashik, not having Parsons, not having Lynn, those were three players that were really, also Greg Smith, part of that roster in the rotation, that I just don't think Terrence Jones can step up enough and Ariza does enough.
Terrence Jones, a lot of pressure on those guys. And first and foremost,
and then
though,
young European guys.
Comes down to Patrick Beverley. I think it really comes down to Patrick Beverley.
Especially in the West with such great point guard play, you're right. I mean, Beverley, too many turnovers, and is he really ready to duel with the Western point guard? Paul, Lillard, Curry. I mean, he's not even better than Conley. You know, you got a lot of tough point guards in the West. But anyway, I want to give you some props real quick, because when you just look at the NBA, look, it's early, right? So anything that you say about it now, it can change in a week or two. But number one scorer of the NBA right now is Klay Thompson. Number two is Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, at 28 a game, he's leading with 16 rebounds a game and leading with 6 blocks a game. Ray, Anthony Davis, people are saying and tweeting and debating, could he potentially be the third best player in the NBA?
Not only that, he could be the MVP. Because unlike Kevin Durant, only, if you think about it, Dwight Howard has a chance, but he's never, his offensive game has never really hit that level. I would argue, and Kobe's over his prime, right? So I would argue that really, if you think about it, there's only two guys in the NBA, and I'm going to say something that might be outrageous, but I'm going to say that there's two guys in the NBA, maybe it's a little more than two, maybe you throw Chris Paul in there, but I'm saying there's two guys, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, that can absolutely have the potential to absolutely dominate the game on both sides of the floor. Usually you dominate on one side or the other. But this guy, you know what he can do on defense. And he's starting to put it together on offense. So, you know, Chris Paul with his steals. Chris Paul's a little small, so he really doesn't shut anybody down. So there's very few guys that can dominate both sides of the basket, both sides of the court. And I think Anthony Davis is one of those guys. And like Kobe used to be able to do that, but I'm not sure there are many other players in the NBA that can do that.
And you know what? You root for the Pelicans to make the playoffs because, you know what, fourth in the NBA is his teammate, Ashik, with 13 boards. And to free up Davis, to have that size next to him, and Ashik is a better-than-average center. I think he's actually underrated. And that's why he wanted to get away from Dwight because he's like, hey, I deserve to get minutes and play because I can score and I can hoop it up and 13 boards a game. I mean, you know, he'll probably average around 10 when the season's done, but that's impressive. And so, you know, you're excited for the Pelicans. And I got to tell you, I remember I told you this, and I really like this team and these guys, but I watched them get a big win the other night. I think they might have beat the Blazers, too. Sacramento Kings, right? They play some good basketball, and I really think getting Darren Collison to run the point guard, Rudy Gay, who's dropping in 26 a game, and I'm telling you, he's playing with a savvy that, you know, only comes from being and competing and playing with other superstars like he did in the World Cup and DeMarcus Cousins. I think the Sacramento Kings are going to be very surprising. And don't sleep on Nick Stauskas and your boy Ben McLemore, who you love, you know, trying to turn the corner and be competitive,
you know,
this year.
This team, right, they whiffed on a couple draft picks, right? Jason Thompson didn't end up being that great. We'll see. The jury's still out on Ben McLemore. I mean, I loved him as a freshman at Kansas for his potential. DeMarcus Cousins was a freshman coming out of Kentucky. Rudy Gay was a sophomore coming out of Connecticut. Darren Collison was a wily veteran, stayed 4 years at UCLA. Maybe this kid, Nick Stauskas, was also a sophomore from Michigan, can add some, you know, some leverage to some, you know, some outside shooting. Ramon Sessions, maybe Ray McCollum can actually do something.
Two
years ago that we didn't see much of. But their problem is not talent. I think their problem is chemistry, is leadership. And maybe, like you said, maybe Darren Collison helps. Maybe he helps stabilize that. Even though they have, like, Isaiah Thomas last year, but Isaiah Thomas was an offensive point guard last couple of years over there. So, you know what? I hope that Sacramento does better because they were great to watch, you know, in those with Peja and Weber and Vlade and all those
guys.
Late 90s, early 2000s. They almost
great
lost
sports the fans.
Franchise,
Small
moving
market.
Them out of there.
Yeah,
so
you're right.
I hope so. And that's a team that is very talented. It's just a matter of putting together. So you almost need to have that no knuckleheads allowed.
Well, listen, if they, you know, Mike Malone, you know, New York, East Coast guy, I think has got it going as a good coach. And, you know, Collison might be the difference maker. And I like them having three ball handlers in Collison, McCollum, and Sessions. I think the way the NBA is going, the Suns are showing the blueprint for having you can't have too many good point guards. And I think that will benefit Sacramento in the long run. And then decent shooting and inside play. You know, if Carl Landry and Jason Thompson can hold down the power forward spot and just clean up the glass, and then you got Reggie Evans to do the dirty work, who I love for them, they might be a sneaky good. Sneaky good. So we'll leave the NBA alone. Oh, we got to salute our Knicks, man. And Carmelo. He gets over 20,000 points. Great career. He just needs to, win one, get to a finals. But I'm happy for Carmelo, and the Knicks are 2-1, and good win over the Hornets. You know, they let them come back, but they hung on to win. Shane Larkin's doing pretty good without Calderon there, and it looks like Shumpert and Amari are ready to chip in, and JR a little bit. What are you thinking about the 2-1 Knicks, man?
You got to be happy so far if you're Derek Fisher. You didn't start off so great, but then you came back and had two very nice wins. And, you know, anything you get out of Amari Stoudemire with his help is going to be a bonus. So you know what you're going to get out of Carmelo. You hope to get something out of Amari. And then if you can get that rotation of Shumpert, Smith, and Hardaway, something out of those guys,
could be
deadly. I don't know if you're deadly, but you're certainly okay, right? And then if your boy Cle Anthony can develop and give them some size and some
and I like Shane Larkin too, man. And I like Jason Smith. Yeah, Jason Smith
is good. Jason Smith's a decent player. And Sammy D might give you a couple of block shots and some rebounds.
Delambert.
So you know what? Like we all said, this is a placeholder year. You just want to keep the momentum. You want these people to learn the system. You want the fans to get excited. And really,
maybe
we'll
get Marc Gasol, baby. Marc Gasol's coming next year, baby. What?
Marc Gasol and Kevin Durant.
Listen, don't get me started. Listen, I'm buying the tickets now for the parade. Don't get me started. You know when I need a championship. So, look, that's enough with the NBA. Let's take a quick little break. We got to talk about Saturdays. Shout out to De La Soul, right? Saturday. College football. Tomorrow night, the four and the top 25, the playoff committee will meet. Ray and Table will sort of give you who we think will be the four. And talk about some of those great college games and then finish strong with the NFL. Ray and Tay, be right back.
Yo, this is Pablo Francisco. You know what? When I want the sports, all the best updates, I go to Ray and Tay. That's right. All sports, all good. Yeah.
That's right. Pablo Francisco, shout out. Friends of the show.
Man.
He's down with Ray and Tay. Tay's down with Ray and Tay.
So, Ray, let's start at the top with number one, because I think Mississippi State was tested, and I think the way that they came out of it, it was Heisman-like, and it was championship-like. And I think Dak Prescott had his moment. I think it was a big win for Mississippi State. And, you know, no game is easy in the SEC. Arkansas is no fluke. And I'm kind of sold on this Mississippi State team because the hard-nosed defense, they got a winning quarterback who makes winning plays. He's got a little, Tebow in him, a little bit of the, he runs, passes. The kid does everything. And I think they're going to stay at number one, and I don't see, any reason why they wouldn't. Do you see any reason why they wouldn't? I mean, did you like that win, even though it's close?
Yeah, it was probably a little too close for comfort, but you know what? The SEC is still the SEC. So that's your typical win and move on situation. So Mississippi State will stay number one. They have a gimme game against the UT Martin this week, and then, listen to this, they play Alabama, Vandy, and then Ole Miss. So if they are indeed number one, and if they do survive, even if they win two out of the let's say, 3 out of the 4. So even if they lose to either Ole Miss or Alabama, I think they still have a chance. I mean, they still have there's the SEC championship to be played. The SEC West is just unbelievable. But these guys still have a legitimate stake to be, you know, in that Final Four. But, yes, I mean, these guys, you know, hats off to them. Hats off.
Right.
The game was in Starkville, so you expected them to win. But
right, and we already spoke about Florida State, and that was a big win over Louisville. Jameis just comes through clutch. And then the battle of 3 and 4, you know, you went with Auburn. I went with Ole Miss. Look, 35-31, obviously anybody could have won the game. But you know what? Nick Marshall and Auburn's defense stepped up when it needed to. Again, I think, I don't know, some of the coaching decisions, play calling, Bo Wallace, you know, they were scrappy. But you give Auburn credit. They, you know, they're going to stay and be number 3. You know, so I got to salute them. But what do you think about that one spot that's probably open now? Is it clearly Oregon, who, remember I told you beginning of the year that they would beat Stanford this year and be the head honchos in the Pac-12? Are they the team to jump up or what?
You can make an argument for TCU, but then you got to knock the Big 12 a little bit. You can make an argument for Michigan State, but you got to knock the Big 10 a little bit. And you can make argument for Oregon. And because Oregon beat Michigan State, now albeit it was in Eugene, again, I think Michigan State, you know, it's a really good team. It's just that Oregon's a bad matchup for them.
Oh, yeah.
For
they're not making anybody yet, Ray. They're not moving up to the top 4.
No. So it's got to be Oregon. It's got to be Oregon. So I think it's basically the 3 SEC West teams and then Oregon.
Oh, no. Florida State's in there.
Sorry. The 2 SEC West teams. That's right. 2 SEC West teams. Florida State. And Oregon, that's right.
The question is, how far down does Ole Miss drop? Do they drop past Bama and Michigan State? Like, would they go? And by the way, I think, and I, you know, I'm glad that they won, but I big win from Arizona State. They beat Utah, but I think Arizona State has a chance to move up and crack the top 10. I was very unimpressed with Notre Dame, and before our show ended on Friday, I almost said, watch them. In a close battle with Navy. And, you know, Navy almost had that game, right? 49-39. They were no slouches.
Yeah, I kept my eye on it. I kept saying, what's wrong with this? They should be pulling away. Maybe it's a trap game.
Yeah, style.
I don't know what Notre Dame was thinking, but, you know, I'm looking at the schedule right now. Notre Dame's got – they're going to play your boys, Arizona State, next week. And then – Northwestern, and then Louisville, and then USC. So Notre Dame still has some games field where they can prove it. Speaking of Arizona, though, what happens with your Wildcats against a UCLA team?
Actually, you know, it's so funny. So that was a defensive battle. Watched a lot of that game, 17-7. No offense could really muster up too much. And you know, the game, it would go up and down the field, but I just think you saw the Pac-12 needs to get the respect that the SEC gets. They're beating up on each other, but they're all good teams. If you take Arizona or UCLA and throw them in other, you know, conferences or whatever, they're going to shine. You know, I really think that they're legit teams. So, you know, sort of just like how people, you know, talk about, Arkansas giving Bama a fight, or, you know, look at Florida upsetting Georgia. That was, like, ridiculous. So I just think now it's time to give the Pac-12 credit that they're deep, just like the SEC. You know, the Big 12's got to prove itself. Their defense has been a little suspect, but I think the Pac-12 is legit. So Heisman, we're week 10 in college football, and between Dak Prescott, Marcus Mariota, maybe Melvin Gordon. Is there anybody else that you would throw in there? Maybe Jameis. 4 guys. They usually have at least 5 in New York. Who else is going to New York for the Heisman?
So for sure, Jameis. and needs to be added to that list just because, you know, his team's
undefeated. So Prescott, Jameis, Mariota, and I think you'd throw in Melvin Gordon, who's been having beast games for Wisconsin. Would you throw anybody else in there? Obviously, Gurley probably can't make it now.
He can't make it. Does my guy from Baylor, Bryce Petty, he put up 60, but he only put up, I think, 299 and a few touchdowns because they started running. They ran the ball for 300 yards. Maybe they threw another quarterback in there. I don't know. It's a good question.
How about your boy, my boy from TCU, Boykin? Pretty good.
Yeah, no, and his stats are gaudy. Not only are they winning, but in a Big 12, but his stats are pretty gaudy, yeah, sure.
And we can't forget our guy from Nebraska, Amir Abdullah. I mean, he's a running back. You know, it's so funny, right? So we talk about
banged
the NFL
up, though, right? He got hurt.
Oh, did he get? Okay. Yeah, he got hurt.
He's a little banged up.
Yeah, but I'll say this, right? Going into this draft, though, Ray, before we get to the NFL, I got to say, you know, there have been no number one picks for the last couple of years in the first round for running backs. But this year, when you look at Gurley, Gordon, you know, Amir Abdullah for Nebraska, you know, some of these, you know, backs, I think, Oklahoma, somebody, there's a couple other backs in the league that are really good. I would be surprised if, I don't know, that is it talent or is it just the NFL's philosophy has changed so much that they just don't care. Nobody will take the shot at a running back in the first round. What do you think?
I think the NFL goes with trends, and the trend is the multi-back system, and the trend is to look at Matt Asiala up in Minnesota, right? Nobody even heard of him before he went in and played for, last year with an injured Toby Gerhardt and Adrian Peterson. But it's one of those things where it's got to come full cycle because, you know what, to play from ahead, that's Ben Roethlisberger, they couldn't run the ball. They had to pass. But typically, to play from ahead, you need to run. To play in bad weather, you need to run. So to win deep in the playoffs, you need to run the ball. So even though these high-powered offenses and quarterbacks are getting all the love, I got to believe NFL can't completely get away from running the ball. So I do believe that it's an anomaly that you don't have any running backs, you know, in the first round. I can't believe if Adrian Peterson comes out of this draft, you're not going to take him in the first round?
That's what I mean. It's crazy. And, you know, it's so funny, and you talk about that, but look, it used to be Gore, and we're going to talk about the NFL, but – you know, when they would give Gore the rock, Seattle, Lynch, Dallas this year has had success with DeMarco Murray. I mean, when you have that one back that can at least, Jamal Charles, Shady McCoy, you know, Foster, when you got a back that can at least carry it 20 times and maybe catch you 5 or 6, I think you're better off than having 2 or 3 backs. I really do. So I love a Le'Veon Bell. I love Jamal Charles, even though I like Miles Davis. But when you have that one horse, look at the Giants. They miss Rashard Jennings. You know, so I think in the long run, it's going to swing back. And look at Andre Ellington. Andre Ellington is one of the best, you know, he's small, but he's one of the best backs in the NFL right now. Andre Ellington's having a great season, you know. So I'm impressed with Ellington and Arizona. So, look, we'll look at Tuesday. We'll talk about it on Friday with the rankings and the polls. Got to shout out the Terps, had a big win in the Big Ten. You know, they didn't shake hands with Penn State. Wasn't the right move. You got to show class. But guess what? Maryland is coming to the Big Ten, and they're showing themselves to be not so bad. So let's get it going, Terp fans. Let's talk NFL. I want to go right to the heart of it. We talked about my Steelers, but what the heck is wrong with friends of the show, our buddy Oren? What is wrong with the San Francisco 49ers? You've said the last 3 years they had the best roster. Where is that at right now? Because a 13-10 loss at home in Santa Clara to the Rams, that stinks.
You know what? I have to say, sometimes talking heads just talk a lot. And sometimes they say things that are very, very interesting. And I was listening to sports radio, and I heard something. And this is why sometimes, you know, there's no substitute for being in the locker room. And I heard Steve Young the Hall of Fame 49er quarterback, say something very interesting. He said that he talked to the equipment guy or the security guy at the new Levi's Stadium, where the Niners are 2-2, so no real home field advantage there. And the guy said, you know what, Steve? This team doesn't seem like a team. They are not as cohesive in the locker room, outside the locker room. I don't know if you can go so far as to say they don't really play for each other, they don't care for each other, but there's something missing. And in retrospect, if you look at it, you see yourself, you know what? It's true. This team that used to seem tight and almost like, you know, they hit a low with your boy Vernon Davis 4 or 5 years ago with Mike Singletary. Remember that old, like, you can't win with them, yeah, with these type of players. But they turned the corner, and then Harbaugh came in, and they were able to set up what I thought was the best team in football over the last 3 years, not only in the locker room, not only on the field, but it seemed like in the locker room as well. Something happened. And then you said a good point that Colin Kaepernick, it's like he never crossed that threshold, right? He's got all the...
He relies too much on his great athleticism, Ray. He really does. And there's no excuse with four great receivers and a tight end. You could argue that he's got four number one receivers at one time or another. They might not all be number ones now, but none of them are worse than number twos. When you have a Bolden, a Stevie Johnson, a Crabtree,
A
Brandon Lloyd, sure, and Vernon Davis, that's five guys right there, along with Hyde and Gore. This team is loaded offensively. Plus, you throw in a rookie wide receiver, Ellington. They got speed, talent. They got everything. Oh, my goodness. It's disgusting. So I got to put it on Colin.
Yeah. No, this is a disappointing season, to say the least. Look, they're still a dangerous team, and if they make the playoffs and
you don't want to play them,
figure out what to do, and then where does Alvin Smith fit into all of this stuff? They're still dangerous.
They need to just try to right the ship and hold on enough to get Alden Smith and Navarro Bowman. I'll tell you this, don't ever underestimate Navarro Bowman. He is the heart and soul of that team. And I think that's what's missing, Ray, honestly. It's their great line. You know, Willis has been banged up, but not having Smith and Bowman, it means a lot. It really does. I mean, it makes Justin Smith better. It makes the corners better. You know, but look, they only gave up 13 points. And let's just give a quick shout out to Jeff Fisher as a coach and what the Rams are doing, because you talk about doing more with less. And I love this kid, Austin Davis. He's got Motsy, he's got, you know, heart. And shout out to Plug 4, got his first start, I believe, 65 yards, Trey Mason. I got to tell you, be honest. This has got to be one of the most impressive NFL rookie classes we've ever seen, huh? I'm blown away by the talent of these rookies this year, offensively and defensively, Ray. It's amazing. All over the NFL, we go from game to game, and there's a rookie every week stepping up and doing something. You talked about my Steelers with the goal line, right? Martavius Bryant only was activated the last 2 weeks, and in 2 weeks he's got 5 touchdowns. He's like a fourth-round pick.
Kelvin Benjamin in the beginning of the first 2-3 weeks of the season. Yeah, this receiving class is very deep.
Yeah, so let's talk about the showdown. 43-21, our boy Brady does what he does. The Patriots defense shows up 11-5 now and wins 16 meetings. Was that sort of the battle for potentially home field? Is this like the NBA Eastern Division, where it really there's a drop-off between the Patriots and Broncos and the Colts and the Bengals and the Steelers and everybody else is playing for third place? Do you think that we're going to get back to Denver, New England, in New England at the end of the season?
You know, at first I thought Cincinnati, and then up until this week, where they just completely laid an egg, San Diego looked like they might be on the scene.
Fantasy suicide right there.
Your AFC North, maybe they all bang each other on the head and they come out bruised and can't compete. Indianapolis has the number one offense, but are they really ready on defense to make some moves in the playoffs? You know, they might have the MVP on their squad right now if it's not Big Ben. But at the end of the day, it still feels like if you really do the sniff test to yourself, like you figure you knocked yourself out and Dr. Freddy Pacheco gives you the smelling salts. If you do the smelling salts on yourself and you're really honest with yourself,
hey, smelling teams, watch out.
you gotta say that Denver and New England are the class of the AFC, and there's no reason to think they won't be 1-2, both get a bye, and both go meet potentially in Foxborough, which could be a problem for Denver, but potentially meet again in yet another AFC championship with Brady, Manning, and Belichick.
You know what I had a problem with yesterday? Peyton Manning was 34 for 57, Ray. These guys set a record for a game with not playing in overtime for pass attempts, 110. That is amazing, 57 passes. And, you know, when took a chance on picking up Juwan Thompson. He gets two rushes, only 10 for Hillman with the shoulder. And then C.J. Anderson, he gets three carries. Denver, not only did they miss Monte Ball, but they really miss Sean Moreno. And I will say this, both teams are better this year, I think, defensively. But if the Broncos do not start running the ball seriously, I don't think that they can beat this Patriot team.
And I'm surprised Manning, who I don't know if he did with Tom Moore in Indianapolis, and I don't know if he does this in Denver with their offensive scheme. If he, how he comes to the line of scrimmage and maybe he can call three plays, I'm surprised that Manning is calling so many passing plays, or he's approving, giving final approval. I would think that, and that's why I got to be honest with you, that's why I drafted Monte Ball in the first round. I had the last pick in the first round in several drafts, putting all jokes, and fantasy aside, I just thought that the field would be wide open for him because of their four unbelievable receivers.
Right.
I agree. Manning's running the ball too. Manning's throwing the ball too much.
17 rushing attempts. Only 17, Ray, you're right. And the Patriots, not too much more, but 25. It's a lot better balance.
It keeps your defense fresh. It keeps your hits off your guy. You typically have depth now. Most GMs have built a team around 2-3 good running backs. So I think he's not running the ball enough. And, again, this is not because I have now Ronnie Hillman too. But you're right. I just don't see that balance. And I was impressed with how they stood up to Seattle, and I was impressed with how they played San Francisco. But you still need to be tougher and run the ball more if you're Denver. And hope to not play New England in Foxborough in January.
Well, listen, that's that's one of those things you really got to look for. So we kind of touched on it, but let's just give them a little bit of love because we don't give them enough on this show. And especially for my boy Elijah, 28-17, the Cardinals take care of the Cowboys. I still think, number one, this is like no Wheaton in the Redskin game in a sense that they bring Romo in and Wheaton should have stayed. And then today, and then yesterday, Wheaton plays, but they didn't run the ball enough. And so to me, okay, yeah, Arizona's defense is tough and they haven't given up a 100-yard rusher all season. But DeMarco Murray only gets 79 yards, but he also only had 19 carries. And as a whole, they only ran it 25 times, just like the Patriots. That's not enough. They needed 30 carries, and DeMarco needs at least 24, 25. So I think, to me, the Cowboys left opportunity out there on the field, and then Wheaton can't get the ball to, the edge receivers, to your boy Terrence Williams and Dez Bryant. So that was a wrap for it for me in the game. And like you said, Carson Palmer is sort of looking back and good enough. They got John Brown. They got Jerron Brown. They got Ted Ginn Jr., Fitzgerald, Floyd, Ellington. A lot of weapons over there. John Carlson showed up to the party. The Cardinals tipped their hats. They are the best team right now in the NFC. So, the record shows it.
Yes, they are. And I tell you what, the good thing about them playing in that division, unlike the Broncos, if they were to make it to the playoffs, but the Broncos didn't really get punched in the mouth until they played Seattle. These Arizona Cardinals have to play, and you got to give Jeff Fisher and St. Louis credit, because if Bradshaw goes down, you think it's over for them. But they are playing very, very tough. And think about this. If you are the Arizona Cardinals, even if you finish 11-5, that's a really tough 11-5, because in addition to the rest of the NFL, you have to play the Seattle Seahawks twice, you have to play the Niners twice, and you have to play the tough St. Louis team twice. So that's six really tough games. So you're a tough out in the playoffs if you're the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, you're battle-tested.
The St. Louis Cardinals. This is the if you're the Arizona Cardinals.
No, you're right. So, I mean, that's listen, Ray, they're rough, rugged, and raw. They're tested. And I don't know. I don't know if we should be excited or nervous for the opportunity, but Foles is out 6 to 8 weeks. Mark Sanchez steps up, who Ray can't stand and has killed a lot. But I will say this. He comes in the first play and throws like a 50-yard pass to Macklin. 31-21, can he hold the ship, and can the Eagles sort of in the next, you know, okay, they're 6-2, but can they stay alive, you know, I don't know, maybe go 4-4, be 10-6, you know?
Well, they said today that Nick Foles is out 6 to 8 weeks with that collarbone, right?
Okay, so maybe he comes back sick.
Yeah, if Nick Foles can come back in 6 weeks, that means that he has a few weeks to, you know, get ready for the playoffs. Now, if you look at Philly's schedule, right, so you got to think the NFC East is not that strong, especially Dallas is not as good as people were hyping them up to be. But
I think Chip Kelly will help Sanchez.
The Philadelphia Eagles have an interesting schedule coming up, right? It's not easy. They play Carolina, Green Bay, two tough games, a tough defense, a great offense. Then they play Tennessee, winnable game, at Dallas, winnable game potentially depending on Romo. And then they play Seattle and
two
then
and three,
Dallas
maybe.
Again.
Okay, so they could be 3-3 with Sanchez. That would be good.
If they get Nick Foles back and they're 9-5, I think they'd be happy with that.
Yeah, well, that's a goal for Eagle fans. Our boy Scott, Cowboy Killers, you know, I know he listens, so maybe that's their goal. I got to ask you this, though. When are the Texans, in this franchise, they can't stay healthy. You know, all their corners are out. Their backup corners are getting interceptions. But, Ray, they can't win with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And so my question is, for all the good, solid play that they put up, and they've got three pretty decent receivers in Hopkins, this kid Demarius Johnson or whatever, and then Andre Johnson, and Foster, who you hope's okay with the groin injury. I don't know how long he's going to be out for. I hope your boy Alfred Blue can play good. But, you know, when do you go with Mallett or the young kid from Pittsburgh, Tom Savage? Because Fitzpatrick keeps giving away games.
He does, and the funny thing is, you knew that, though. Fitzpatrick is the same Fitzpatrick that he was in Buffalo.
Oh, definitely.
He showed
you.
Same Fitzpatrick that he was in Tennessee. So that means that these other guys, Mallett and the Savage, the young draft, they're not getting it done, I would imagine, in practice, because to me, you would think that this job is there to be had, because Ryan Fitzpatrick is not the real deal.
But honestly, as a coach, don't you think, you know what, maybe somebody's not just a practice player? You got to just give a guy a chance. It's got to be so frustrating in that locker room. They're 4-5 with a pretty good defense, a lot of offensive weapons, a lot of talent on the team. He gets a fumble, an interception, 4 sacks. That's the offensive line and him, receivers. It's never a quarterback's fault with sacks, but totally. But I just, you know, I saw some of this game timely. He just – it's a wreck. And if I was a Texans fan, I would be begging. I'd be like, oh, man, I miss Case Keenum. But
oh,
I would
God.
Say, give me Ryan. Where's Yates when you need him? He's down in Atlanta.
DJ,
give me TJ Yates, exactly. But give me, let me lose with Mallett. Let me lose with that arm. Let me see what Tom Savage has. Maybe the rookie could strike some magic. We've seen Fitzpatrick in Buffalo and in Tennessee. Nah, I didn't like it, and I'm not liking him in Houston. So that's just my piece. We're not even going to talk about Phillip Rivers and the Chargers collapsing. He killed everybody in fantasy, 37-0. Salute Henry, Hank, a caller, friend to the show, our friend. He's got to be happy. The Dolphins are actually playing pretty good football this year. And are you believing in Tannehill and Lamar Miller and Wallace and these guys?
They're earning their stripes. They're earning their stripes. And Tannehill had a shaky beginning of the season. But I think he's doing all right. And that's in spite of Mike Wallace, your boy from Pittsburgh, being a disappointment. So
playing better as of late, though. He's playing a little bit better.
Yeah, but you know what? They're paying him to be a star. They're paying him to be Antonio Brown.
Steelers look like geniuses, though. They give up players at the right time, right? And they don't overpay. It's a great, smart franchise.
They do, for sure. And you know what? Tannehill, I don't want to say he's doing more with less, but he doesn't have the weapons around him that Peyton Manning does. So good for him
Heartline some of the numbers that he's doing. Are not studs. Although, another rookie, Jarvis Landry's looking good, Ray. Got to give Jarvis Landry
He was a stud at Georgia, and then he had that one kind of bad few games, and then he slipped in the draft, and you guys made a great pickup picking him up.
Yeah. The Dolphins, Jarvis Landry from LSU, yeah. So Chiefs took care of the Jets. Mike Vick, it doesn't matter who you put in. His franchise has just cursed the Jets. I don't know if, Joe Namath winning – if he bit off the head of a chicken or there was some I don't know what. The AFC sold its soul to beat the NFC, the NFL at the time against the AFL. But the Jets are cursed, Ray. I'm at the point as a Jets fan where I believe no matter what. And I feel bad for Rex because I actually like him and I think he's a good coach. But, I'm upset I didn't play Decker. He did good in fantasy, but Martavis Bryant showed up great for me, so I was happy. But I just think the Jets, whatever. You got to give Teddy B some love before we predict the Monday night game. The Redskins lose and Griffin comes back 29-26, the Vikings. So good win for them. The Bengals, they almost, could have gave it up to Jacksonville. They hold on to win. So tonight, tell me what you're feeling in your gut. Number one, is Reggie Wayne step up? Everybody wants to know for fantasy. he's healthy, so I assume he's playing. But do the Colts blow the Giants out? Do the Giants retiring Strahan, just like how the Steelers retired the greatest, Mean Joe Green, yesterday and played great for him. Do the Giants play great for Strahan? Tell me something for tonight. Well, what are your thoughts? Because I'm saying Colts 30-20 over the Giants.
I think the Giants get blown out. They definitely don't play well on Monday night. And I just think that when these teams are healthy, the Colts are better. And then I think you just don't recover from losing Victor Cruz and Rashard Jennings, and you're playing, let alone, on defense and injuries all around, let alone the fact that you're playing the number one offense in the NFL. So I think that the Colts will put up 30-35. Let's call it 30. Do you think the Giants can score 30-31 on the Colts to win? I don't think so. So I think the Colts win 31-23.
Okay, so we're in the same ballpark. I think it's a 10-point game. You think it's, what, 8-point game? It should be interesting. The Colts, Luck will put up his stats. Maybe he gets his turnovers. Thursday night, Ray, let's talk about it. AFC North battle. This is potentially for first place, especially if the Browns win. Browns, I think, are hosting the Bengals. A.J. Green will be back. Giovanni should be playing. He missed last week. For some reason, I don't like the way the Bengals are playing, and Hoyer and the Browns are playing with a lot of moxie and hard, and Joe Hayden, and you got your boy Gibson leading the NFL in interceptions. The wide receivers are carrying, the running backs, and Hoyer's just – he's a Cleveland, Ohio boy. I'm going to take the Browns in a mild upset, not a huge upset. But I'm going to take the Browns in a tough battle. I'll say 24-21, Browns beat the Bengals Thursday night football.
So I think the Bengals who I predicted to run away with that division, I think they're going to put it together. And I think Cleveland's not quite ready. They're a team that maybe next year gets over the hump, and this year maybe loses a lot of close games, or maybe goes 50-50 in their close games. So I think Cincinnati puts it together on Thursday night. They beat the Browns in a really close, tight, low-scoring game, 20-19.
I like it. Listen, you've been giving us some funky numbers lately. I like it. 20-19. So great show. You know, watch some great basketball this week. You know, some good matchups. The TV games should be fun. I was asking people on Twitter. I mean, who's the worst team in the NBA? Is it the Lakers, the Magic, or the Sixers? Because the Lakers right now look like they might go 0-82. Ray, I feel bad for Kobe.
Oh, God.
But they're saying Kobe's loyal. He doesn't want to be traded. But I'm just like, who wants him either? As great as he is, I don't know. But so anyway, we're out. Thanks for listening. Talking sports with friends. We'll be back Friday. Talking NFL week 10, college football week 11, NBA. And maybe we'll bring back the segment, You're Not Ready. You ready, Ray?
I'm always ready.
You're always
ready.
All right, everybody. Enjoy the game.
Have a great week. We'll see you on Friday.